of Jesus Christ, our coming Advent King, dear fellow redeemed. Text on which we meditate this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 12. Waiting in fear is the worst kind of waiting. Waiting for Dad to come home to discover that you broke the living room lamp, tossing the old pigskin around the living room, is the worst kind of waiting. I've been there. Waiting for the principal to return to his office for your talking to is an agonizing wait. Waiting in fear is the worst kind of waiting. Fortunately, I've also been there a long, long, long time ago. Waiting in the hospital room for news to come from the doctor is an agonizing wait. Your heart beats like a drummer boy as you wait in fear the news to come. Fortunately, I've been there too. Waiting in fear is the worst kind of waiting. The people of Israel, they were waiting with a lot of things to fear. See, they had just been told that there were going to be days of crying and mourning and pain to come. God was going to come and cut his people down, and it was their fault. They deserved it. They had it coming. And so they had a lot to fear. Now they were going to have to wait, knowing what would come. This period of waiting was the time when Israel was waiting for Assyria and Babylon to come at God's direction and trounce them because of their disobedience. So their temple would be destroyed and burned and leveled, and all the defenses and the walls around the city would be destroyed, and the whole city and the whole land would be handed over into the hands of their enemies, and they would be deported and sent off to captivity. People had a lot of things to fear as they waited. Waiting in fear is the worst kind of waiting. Isaiah was the prophet who had just delivered to them all of these oracles of doom and gloom about what was to come. And he made it clear that the consequences of their unfaithfulness were going to come on them, and it was their fault. They had cheated on God with other gods, so the penalty was going to be fierce. But fast on the heels of all of those oracles of doom and gloom and dissonance, suddenly Isaiah's tune changes. In the drop of a hat, then he switches to prophesying to them about the end of it all, when God will bring salvation to his people again. So Isaiah switches to talking about the root from the stump of Jesse that will rise up as a branch and will be exalted and will draw all men to himself. He will stand as a banner for the people. And all the exiles will be led back from captivity on this miraculous highway that God will clear through the desert for his people to come back. And this miraculous highway reminds Isaiah of a different highway that he would have known about since he was a boy, the highway that God had paved right through the middle of the Red Sea when he had delivered his people from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. So as Isaiah is reminded of that highway, he's also reminded of the song that goes with that highway, the song that the Israelites sang once they got on the other side of the Red Sea and the walls of water crashed down and covered Pharaoh's army and delivered the people. This is the song that the Israelites sang. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Maybe you have a melody that sticks in your mind for that song, like the one I remember from when I was a boy. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid, for the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense. He will be my Savior. You didn't think you were going to get a solo out of Pastor Preview today, did you? So Isaiah takes that song refrain from back when the Israelites sang it at the Red Sea, and he puts it into context for his people, and he writes new words for it, new verses to apply to them as he's about to teach this song to his people. You know, it really is strange timing, very interesting timing for him to do this. Because as we said before, Israel had a lot of things to fear. There was mourning and crying and pain that were going to come. They had defeat and hard days that were looming over them. And their strongholds and all of their defenses were going to be destroyed. But suddenly, in the midst of this fearful waiting, God decides to have Isaiah teach this song of salvation and joy to his people. Let me try to illustrate how strange and interesting that timing is by pointing you to a different song, a much different song that's often heard at high school sporting events. See, there's a song that the winning cheering section will sing right as the final seconds are ticking off the clock. The winning cheering section will begin to sing what's called the scoreboard song. They ask the crowd, do you see the winning team? Do you see the losing team? Do you see the referee? And as they remind everybody of those facts once again, they repeat it over and over again. Do you see the scoreboard? Do you see the referee? Do you see the winning team? Do you see the losing team? And at the end of it all, then the crowd goes wild and they celebrate their victory. Now, generally, if you're going to be so bold as to sing a song like that, you had better make sure that you are indeed the winning team and that the dagger is in and that you have won the game. Imagine if you broke out into the scoreboard song as the other team was putting the winning points up on the scoreboard. Imagine how foolish that would be, how embarrassing that would be for you. But imagine this. What if your team was actually like about halfway through the second quarter and things were not going well? You were getting trounced going into halftime. You think that would be a good time to break out the scoreboard song? When you're way down going into halftime and the outcome does not look good, it does not look like you are going to win that game. Think you just break out the scoreboard song about how you're going to win at the end? No, everybody would think, how foolish you are. What game are you even watching? You can't sing the scoreboard song. I don't even think you're going to win. It was about that time for Israel. Like the middle of the second quarter, and they were way down going into halftime, and the end did not look good. And that's when Isaiah starts to teach them the song of salvation, the song of victory, the song of joy about what's going to happen all the way at the end. Listen to the words. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense, and he has become my salvation. Even the people themselves might think, well, we can't sing that song. Look at what's going on. Look what we've done. We can't sing the song about victory when we're losing. But God tells Isaiah otherwise. And God has shown Isaiah otherwise. God has shown Isaiah what the final seconds are going to look like when the scoreboard comes to zero. And God's people are victorious at the end because a stronghold and a warrior and a savior took the field for them. The root from the stump of Jesse rose up and was exalted and drew all men to himself. Isaiah saw that day and so he could teach the people the song of salvation with confidence. Even while they wait for the fearful things to come, he could teach God's people to sing. You want to sing it with me this time? Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. And even when we think about our version of that song, it's maybe just the tiniest bit inaccurate at the end. When we see those words, he will be my Savior, as if he will only be that in the future, when Isaiah actually says it two different times, two different ways, surely God is my salvation, and he has become my salvation already. Past, present, and future, he is it. He is my only chance to win, and he is the surest bet that this world has ever known. And no matter how ugly the score is, God tells Isaiah that his people get to sing this song of salvation with confidence because the end is sure. Scoreboard, referee, winning team, losing team. So Isaiah teaches the people the song of salvation, and he has been teaching the people those words for the past 2,700 years. Yet so often, as you look at God's people, you might not think that they're waiting for victory at the end. As you look at God's people, you might see guilt-ridden and sorrowful, down people, downcast, thinking that God is still keeping score against them, thinking that the end is not going to be good, thinking that we are going to pay on the day that God bottles up all of his wrath and pours it out on us. But to go on in that kind of fearful living is to close our eyes and ignore the mercy of our God, who comes to us and tells us not to fear. What did our Psalm verse say before? If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. We should not be able to stand in the presence of our God without his anger obliterating us. But he is the one who comes to us as God and says, you are my people, and you get to be in my presence, and you are forgiven. And we dare not talk back to our God as if he can't forgive us, or as if he won't forgive us, or as if he already has not forgiven us. He has done it. And so we say with Isaiah, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Life is lived differently when you're not waiting for an angry God to punish. When you know what's going to be on the scoreboard at the end of it all, then, as Isaiah says, you can draw water from the wells of salvation. You can live your life in joy, knowing what is coming at the end. Salvation, victory. You know what the scoreboard says, and it makes the waiting so much easier. And there was a man who lived hundreds of years after the time of Isaiah, who was waiting for what God said was going to come. This man was named Zechariah. Zechariah was also waiting and hoping for a son. See, he and his wife Elizabeth had not been able to bear children, and they were past the age of childbearing. And when God came to Zechariah and announced that he would now bear a son who would be John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Lord and his coming, prophet Zechariah burst into song, just the kind of song Isaiah said we would sing in the future. Zechariah said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has come to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That's the song. That's exactly like the kind of one Isaiah said that we would sing. Remember what Isaiah said before? In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. And let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. That last line, great is the Holy One of Israel among you, is really what we are waiting in stillness and confidence to have happen. For the Holy One of Israel to come. The first time he comes to his people to become sin for us so that he might also become salvation for us. And the second time he returns to his people, not again to bear sin, but this time to bring salvation for all those who are waiting for him. We heard in our last lesson this evening what the Apostle John said that that day will look like. He said in Revelation chapter 21, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. The end of it all, when the Holy One of Israel returns, there will be no more crying or mourning or pain. There will be no more fear. There will be nothing but shouts of joy and rejoicing as God's people get to dwell with him forever and ever. Till that day, remember what it says on the scoreboard. He won. You won. Winning team. So you get to sing the song of salvation while you wait. And that makes the waiting so much easier. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.